good morning, noon, or night, whichever it is for you. It's Harry, my son George, and our lazy dogs here for a special restaurant episode of Forgettable Ruminations. That's right, George and the dogs are back. We settled our labor dispute. They're back to their old jobs of contributing absolutely nothing and to their old pay of ketchup and kibble. But since I began this podcast, I've been wanting to do a restaurant episode. It's the industry in which I work, and it's an industry rich in human interest material. It's the perfect stuff to forget about. The hospitality industry, that's the official designation from the Department of Labor. We're lumped in with the likes of Disney World and Six Flags, and you're not going to find any rides in a restaurant if that's what you're looking for. Although soup of the day can often be an adventure, but the only thing not in the hospitality industry is hospitals. They're in the healthcare industry, which, as you know, is not very hospitable. So the team has regrouped, gotten back to work, show notes, fill up the whiteboard, all the pre-production stuff. And as is usually the case, George knows absolutely nothing about the topic at hand. And the dogs know even less. For George, there's two types of restaurants, McDonald's and crap. And for the dogs, they don't know a restaurant from a cesspool. And that's why dogs eat their own crap. They don't know that difference. And for food, whatever I'm eating is good. Shit from a bag with a dog on it is just survival. So I'll be pulling off this stupendous act of entertainment by myself. And for them, it's just mere inert bodily presence. So, to restaurants. What you see on TV is about as accurate as Law and Order is to an actual court case. Now, you see it on TV because it's made for TV. Remember that movie Waiting? I'm sure none of you believe a restaurant works that way. Cooks, you know, sabotaging food and staff punking each other by flashing their business. And then you have Kitchen Nightmares, also made for TV. These aren't normal restaurants. They're bad ones, dysfunctional. And their shortcomings seem to be exaggerated for dramatic effect. Somewhere in their show notes, I'm sure it says, make sure you give Ramsay something to scream about. And then there's Chopped. It's not a restaurant setting, but cooks like it. It's educational because you never know when that exec is going to ask you to make a dish from dandelions, fingerling potatoes, sweet taffy, and a tire iron. There's really not much drama on how a normal restaurant works. For cooks and servers, it's prep work, running a service, and maybe calling FEMA in for the fallout. But that's it. Nothing intellectually challenging, no splitting of atoms, none of that Euclidean geometry, nothing like that. But for the owner, it's different. Leadership, accounting, marketing, worrying. And most good owners will jump in if needed, you know, wherever. Cooking, serving, busing, washing dishes, scrubbing toilets. And almost always underappreciated by her employees. So I'm sure you want to know who's cooking your food. This is who. Ex-cons, drug addicts and alcoholics, wannabe artists, and chefs. You know, the defective ones, the passionate. Those who need to be returned to the factory for repair, they're defective. They need to get their heads out of the clouds in the cookbooks and jam them straight up their asses like everyone else. Steal a few cars, get shit-faced, speed in a school zone. Want to fit in? That's the recipe. But the diners expect all the cooks to be passionate. That's the unfortunate residual from the food memoirs and TV chef. Unrealistic expectations created by passionate chefs, the defective ones. And the inspirations for their passions are just questionable to me. Their grandmother sweating to death while lovingly stirring polenta with a boat oar for 5 hours. Or their memory of some hot, crusty ciabatta from a quaint sidewalk cafe in Tuscany. How about your first underage beer? Or your first sex with someone other than yourself? Those are the normal memories. They sure beat crusty bread and watered down cornmeal. Don't you think? Does to me. But anyway, cooks and teachers seem to be the only people we expect to be passionate about their work. Nobody expects a custodial grandmaster to be passionate about scrubbing the remnants of Taco Bell from a rest area toilet. Nobody expects a hooker or, you know, an escort, if you want, to be passionate about some John choosing the catch of the day from her menu. So, cooks and teachers, indulge your passion. And here's some pumpkin seeds in lieu of pay. Papitas. And our customers, our clients, no. They're diners. They're labeled by what they're doing. Dining. Defense attorneys don't label their clients as wife beaters or car thieves. They're clients. My client's not a scumbag. He's a paycheck. And hookers don't call their clients disgusting fuckers or premature ejaculators. They're simply clients. A paycheck. In restaurants, we have diners. There's a lot of these language idiosyncrasies in the restaurant world. And I guess most industries have some lingo unique to themselves, but I don't think any of them have bled into common usage as much as restaurant lingo. Yeah, I could do a whole episode on this, but just a few here. Front of house, back of house. In restaurant, front of the house, servers and hosts. Back of the house, cooks. In the corporate world, there's kind of a plantation mentality to how these terms are used. Front of house is upper management. Back of the house is those people paid in Cracker Jacks, and, you know, shopping with food stamps and coupons. Now, the biggest crossover is the term 86. When you run out of something, 86. We run out of that. Or we just don't want to cook it for you. 86. But the term has kind of blossomed to spread its wings a little bit. And when Netflix cancels a show, people say 86, the 86 Ozark. Or, you know, whatever vapid crap we've had enough of. And if you have friends over for, you know, in a poker game and Dylan drops dead, oh shit, well, 86 Dylan, you roll his ass into the garage, split up his chips, and continue playing. That's what he would have wanted. You can even use his casket as a poker table at the funeral. That's what Dylan would have wanted. And you got to respect the wishes of the dead. They may come back to get you. I even heard cancel culture called 86 culture. Now that I think about it, maybe football lingo probably has the most crossover. Payday is first down. You reject an offer. I'm going to punt on that. So basically just forget all I've said. That's the purpose of this podcast anyway, forgetting. And damn dogs. Hold on, these damn dogs are up to something. Wow, they're wiggling and whining. I don't see a damn thing out there. Some rain. Well, use your damn word. 600,000 to choose from. These dogs on three. I'm going to let them out before they bark and want some money. They clamor for a residual. Anyway, back to restaurant world. I can't think of a richer environment for this week's episode of America's favorite game show, Douchebag, Dickhole, or Dumbass. And where to begin, because there's so many choices. It's like one of those Chinese restaurant flyers on your windshield. Those little trifold 8.5 by 11 inch menus with 200 choices. And I know you wonder where they store all that crap. Working from a kitchen the size of a refrigerator box, wonder no more, I'll tell you. The Chinese know their math. And you need only 8 ingredients for over 40,000 combinations. And an American restaurant, they're going to have 40,000 ingredients for 8 choices. So back to Douchebag, Dickhole, or Dumbass, special restaurant edition. We're going to play the game a little differently this week. I'll give you one from each category and see if you know someone exhibiting such behavior. Unfriend them. And if that someone is you, back to the factory for some behavioral modification. So a douchebag is the regular who refills his own glass at the soda fountain. Just gets up from the table, walks to the machine, and refills his own glass. He needs his hydration, and he needs it now. Says, make yourself at home, right on the menu. But that's just a marketing slogan. It's rhetorical. Are you going to clean the toilet like you do at home? You going to rip one of those vinyl seat farts like you do at home? Want to feel at home? Go home. You're a douchebag. Yeah, a dumbass is the diner who chases his server around the restaurant to argue about a $1 discrepancy on the bill. Hey, Elihu, unless you want to lend a hand in the dish pit, get your monkey ass back to your table. We'll settle accounts there. Or we can step out back, and we can settle it the old-fashioned way. You're a dumbass. Sit down. And Dickel was the guy, almost always a guy, who asked for 10 lemon wedges and 5 packs of sugar to transform his complimentary water into lemonade. And then he steals the rest of the sugar packets, the toothpicks, the napkins, his steak knife. And you want to impress me, dickhole? Steal the whole fucking booth. The whole damn thing. You'll still be a dickhole, but a hero to me. As a diner, if you want to go for the trifecta, come in 5 minutes before closing. Oh, look, honey, we made it just in time. Yes, just in time to be roundly despised. Those smiles on your host and server's face is company policy. Or they're conjuring up a fond image of dismembering you. Then they course it out. Appetizer, salads, entrees, desserts. An hour and a half after closing, you're still there. Hey, douchebag, dickhole, and dumbass. This isn't a public utility. It's a business, just like the grocery store, or Target, or Walmart, the Burlington Coat Factory. 5 minutes before closing, these businesses come over the intercom. Attention shoppers, we'll be closing in 5 minutes. Please make your final selections and bring them to the front checkouts. And roughly, that means get your shit, pay up, and kick rocks. Not in a restaurant. Stay as long as you like. And maybe we should pull the sofa out for you. Anyway, George hates it when I whine, so I'm going to wrap it up. Thanks to everyone who's given me feedback since the show first aired. As you can tell, it probably hasn't helped much. And finally, time for the shameless and this week, somewhat sluggish promotion. If you'd like a transcript of this or any previous episode, or if you simply want to comment on the show, visit buymeacoffee.com/Harry and George. Click on the Explore Creators tab and type Forgettable Ruminations in the search box. Also, I'm hoping to launch my website, ForgettableRuminations.com, sometime before the end of the millennium. So, until next week, it's Harry and George and two lazy dogs. Thanks for the ears.